Welcome to this service of worship, coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this Easter Sunday morning. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and you will hear several other voices this morning, each from their respective homes to yours. We're grateful for the gifts of our musicians and many others. The vocal ensemble comprises the voices of Eleanor Wilson, Eleanor Cousins, Caitlin McGillivray, Tim Cooper, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. Drew Crichton and Eleanor Cousins play the piano accompaniments and the flautists are Clara Galea and Laura Chaffee. Ruby Brown will lead us in a poem to remind us of our baptism. Diana Thurston-Smith reads our scripture, and leading us in the prayers of intercession are Katie and James McNeil. We're grateful to Andrew Carville for editing this service of worship and to Alison Bruce and the communications team. This service will include the celebration of Holy Communion, so you may wish to have beside you some bread and some wine or a cracker and some juice. With or without, you are fully included in the feast that is the Lord's Supper. Our call to worship. This is Easter morning. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Today we proclaim that Christ lives. Today we celebrate that no darkness can extinguish the light, that love will always be more powerful than death, and that peace will be stronger than violence. Let us worship God in the singing of our first hymn, Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing. Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of renewed presence this Easter day, we thank you for your labour of miraculous love, for the hope that we can find through Christ's rising. We confess that faith doesn't always come easily. When we face loss in our own lives, sorrow can weigh us down. In the midst of the pain that COVID-19 brings, our challenges can feel like a stone too heavy to roll away. Forgive us, O worker of wonders. Easter shows us that nothing is impossible for you. Embrace, renew, and restore us. Thank you for assuring us that the power of your love will never let us go. May the words that Jesus taught, words that have stood the test of every time and trial, strengthen us as we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Throughout Christian history, Easter has been a traditional time for baptisms, a time when we remember that we are named before God and that we are joined in covenant relationship as the body of Christ, a reality that has added poignancy at this time of distancing and social isolation. This is a time to remember our baptism. And we'll do that now through Ruby Brown leading us in a poem that applies to every single one of us.
In Good Days and Bad Days by Ruth Burgess. God, you tell me I am as important as my neighbor. I am precious in your sight. You know me and recognize my name. My life has meaning and purpose. I am loved and liked and cherished. I belong in your world. God, in my good days and bad days, help me to know your delight in me. Call me step by step into your joy.
The New Testament lesson is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and John visit the tomb of Jesus. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Stone in the garden, that stone, the stone that blocked Jesus' tomb. It's huge, heavy, and unforgiving. That stone is a symbol of disconnection, of forced partings. We can feel the weight of that stone in our everyday living. Births and deaths without family members physically present, funerals at a distance. Separation marks these days. And for Jesus, that stone represents separation from the humanity he loves, the hell that is disconnection. In our reading from the Gospel of John, it's clear that Mary is feeling the pain of disconnection. Like many mourners and health carers at the cutting edge of this pandemic, her body is weighed down with grief and exhaustion. At what cost are we recognizing that holding things together right now are the ones most overlooked and undervalued? Mary's eyes fill with tears. She cannot see clearly. She stands alone and unsteady in unmarked territory. The confusion of that first Easter can so easily get glossed over. Over the years, the progression of death to new life has become so rehearsed and seamless that the jagged uncertainty of Mary's steps is replaced with sure-footed predictability. Resurrection can become more about winning than extravagant love poured out and lived into. The stumbling uncertainty of Mary's witness may seem like a weak vision of resurrection. It is not. This Easter is bringing us back to our spiritual roots, speaking now, as it did then, into lives that can feel unmoored and unhinged, to proclaim that love survives, that love refuses to be disconnected. The stone is rolled away, and disconnection does not have the last word. The Apostle Paul might as well have been speaking of the stone of separation when he wrote that nothing, nothing whatsoever, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I once had the privilege of seeing a baby girl born into the world and take her first breath. As well as joy, I can bear witness that she was born in the midst of tears and pain and blood. More than once, I have had the privilege of being alongside those drawing their last earthly breath. I can bear witness that while so intimately sad, it was not only sad. We are able to rise this day through the faith that says, yes, sorrow stands, but now it no longer stands alone. Life and death are not opposites. And it is often those who are at the cutting edge of suffering who are given the grace to grasp this paradox most fully. Easter comes into our Good Friday world. They cannot be disconnected or separated because all that is born of eternal love is found at their joining. Easter enables us to hold both the space for joy and the space for sorrow in our hearts, heads, and spirits. And in that space, the space of apparent contradictions, the story of Easter is still unfolding. The garden of the tomb is not the only significant garden in the Bible. The Bible begins in a garden from which human beings are banished. Christ's resurrection takes place in a garden restoring what was lost. But the Bible doesn't end in a garden. It ends in a city, the New Jerusalem, which has features of a garden. The river of life running through the middle of it, with the tree of life growing by the side of the river. Our city may be under lockdown, but Christ's garden in the city streets and homes and hospitals is still being cultivated in every act of costly love that blooms. We are Eastered through the everyday miracles of making connections. We are Eastered through unholy situations that are made hopeful through the transforming power of love. And we are called to be part of the blossoming. This is the costly demand of resurrection. We are called to stand with Mary and bear witness to the blooming of the desert and the unfolding of the story. The poet Padraig O'Toole says it well. Hear his words. And the story isn't finished. The answers in the living and the dying, in the trying for redemption on an empty hill of crosses. It's the shoring up of hope and the gathering of losses. It's the looking for companions in the hills and in the glens. It's the waking up and walking up and starting up again. The answers in the living and the trying. And I said to the wise man, "What is the answer to all this?" And he said, "The answer is in the story, and the story's just unfolding."
When you hear the words, "Help us," please continue, "To be your light, O Christ." Help us to
be your light, O Christ.
Lord, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, with courage and faith, went to the tomb.
We give thanks and pray for courageous health workers and care providers, especially those with inadequate protection equipment, and pray for those working to develop scientific responses and medical advice.
Help us to be your light, O Christ. Lord, when Mary found the empty tomb, she ran to tell the disciples. Peter and the disciple whom you loved ran to see.
We give thanks and pray for those maintaining electronic communications, for the pleasure of being able to share what brings us comfort and joy, and for the re-emergence of neighbourliness, smiles, and conversations at a distance.
Help us
to be your light, O Christ.
Lord, dazzled by the light as she emerged from the tomb, Mary heard your voice speaking her name.
We give thanks and pray for for those who are listening for your voice in these perplexing times, and for those striving to work out how they will make their organisations survive the pandemic and continue to provide employment and service.
Help us to be your light, O Christ. Lord, Mary told the disciples that you were alive, that love has overcome fear and death.
We give thanks and pray for police, social workers and volunteers trying to help those struggling to maintain good relationships.
This Easter, may we rejoice in all the ways in which fear can be overcome, and in the stillness of our hearts, rejoice in the clear light of your eternity. Amen. Amen.
And now we come to the table of our Lord. We stand in the resurrection garden of God, a place suffused and shaped by love and ripe with its potential. And this is the table of the risen Jesus, a place fashioned and furnished by love and rich with its promises. We share these gifts of grace to encounter Christ and be healed by love and transformed with life. In the garden, when love was resurrected, before the cold silence of the tomb by which love was swallowed, before the horror of the cross on which love was broken, before the bitter struggle of another garden through which love affirmed its choices, Jesus, eating a final supper with his friends, blessed and broke bread, and poured out a cup of wine, sharing these tokens with them as a confirmation of the life he had lived and a sign of what was to come. So we too, recalling that moment and honouring that life, take and break this bread and pour out this wine, as a confirmation and sign that we are part of its ongoing story, and remembering with wonder and joy that love, though broken on a cross, was not defeated, and though swallowed by death, was not silenced, and lives unvanquished and speaks still and to all words of welcome, healing and hope. We join our voices with that of creation and with all those who bear witness across the world and throughout the ages to the transforming power of God's love and life. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And as we rejoice and remember, Send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that we may once again encounter love and be transformed. Jesus, love resurrected, comes to each of us as the bread of life and the cup of blessing. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us eat. Let us drink. Life-giving Lord, having been fed at your table, we share your peace. May the peace of the resurrected Jesus, the challenging peace of committed life, the liberating peace of selfless love, the vibrant peace of new possibility transform us with joy. The peace of the risen Christ be with you all. Words of blessing. When you find yourself lost and confused, may you hear Christ calling your name. As you venture on uncertain pathways, may you recognize Christ with you on the journey. In times of wondering and doubt, may you feel Christ's patient reassurance. And in all times and places, know this: Christ is risen. Alleluia.